problems, but we've got solutions.
Hey, I'm Gary, back with another life hack. But this one, you don't even need a tool. You need to go to the movies on Tuesdays because it's only $7 to get in. With that, you got a lot of money left over to buy Cokes, candy bars, chips, whatever you want. Sounds a pretty good deal. What do you think?
That's all right, but I got something better for you. And all you gotta do is put on some baggy clothes with some extra pockets. Check this out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Even got a coffee. And check this out, a whole jar of pickles. Shoot, do you have my hammer?
Life has its problems, but we've got solutions.
All right, well, today is Family Sunday. So if you're 18 and younger, stand to your feet. We have a game. Stand to your feet if you're 18 and younger. You know what? If you want to play, anybody can play. Here we go. We are going to play Finish the Proverb, and I'm going to give you an A, B, or C option. You run to this aisle if you pick A, this aisle if you pick B, and this aisle if you pick C. Are you ready? Here we go. First proverb. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise a summer reading assignment, wisdom and instruction, or their dad's jokes, okay? So A, B, or C? A, B, or C? What do you think? A, B, or C? Well, they seem to be getting into the center. B, what is the answer? B, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You ready for the next one? Okay, here we go. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make your mom crazy. A, it's not just true or false, it's what's in the scriptures. B, cause you to lose screen time. Again, not true or false, but what's in the scriptures. Or C, make tempers flare. A, B, or C? They're like pausing this time. This one's harder. That screen time was throwing them off a little bit. Okay, I think we have a lot. Let's see. People are saying C. The answer is C. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Very good, very good. Okay, here comes the next one. Proverbs 31:9, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of A, the poor and the needy, B, the youngest child of the family, or D, C, of your friends, okay? A, B, or C, poor and the needy, the youngest in the family, or your friends. Oh, this is a smart crowd. A, let's see, what's the answer? Proverbs says, speak up and judge fairly. A is the correct answer. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Very good. Okay, your last one. You ready for the last one? Here we go. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is a wild beast. That seems right. Be normal. Ding, 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 ding. That one's a hard one. This is really hard. We actually told Pastor Kaz he couldn't use the S word, even though it's in the scriptures. Does that give you a hint? And we don't mean the four-letter word, but some people aren't allowed to say this word in their house, and it starts with an S. Don't say it. Don't say it. We'll all get in trouble. They're slowly moving across the room. Maybe a wild beast, you're normal, or you're not smart. Let's see if they're smart. Answer is C. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is not smart. Really good. Okay. Did everybody get one of these when they came in the room? It wasn't put together yet. If you didn't get one of these and you'd like to make one of these, this is a proverb, and it helps you remember to trust in the Lord, okay? So if you didn't get one, I believe they're right out the door, and you can go grab one. And I want you to color them real nice and put the little Brad in the middle, and then it's this really cool thing so that you can learn the verse, trust in the Lord, okay? All right, good job. Give them a round of applause as they head to their seats. When we started talking about doing this sermon series called Life Hacks, I was like, I'm going to have to sit this one out because a life hack I will always make a mess of. Life hacks are supposed to be like a shortcut that makes things easier and better and cleaner, you know, all of the things. And I always mess up a life hack. A couple weeks ago when I was working on this sermon, I was like, I'm going to set aside an hour and 45 minutes for the rest of my day and work on this sermon. But I had like, you know, half a cup of my iced coffee left, and I was like, from the morning, and I was like, I'm going to go put some ice in it. So I had made up my own little life hack, and we have this huge freezer at the Arlington campus, and then I opened it up because I was going to put ice in it. And to save a little bit of time, I put my coffee right inside there, and I went to grab the bag of ice and knocked it all down the back side of inside the freezer. I thought, well, that's going to take a little bit of time, maybe 45 minutes to an hour to clean that up. And I was like, but I'm still committed to the little bit left that's in my coffee. So I carefully put it over on the counter and grabbed the bag of ice. And we all know the life hack when the bag of ice is not broken up, you take it to the floor. We all do this, right? I did like one little tap and ice went everywhere. I was like, how is this even possible? There goes my next 45 minutes that I was going to be really focused on learning. So I spend, you know, a good time. I'm taking out the shelves. Like, I had to do the whole thing because it was really bad. And the next day, I'm sitting in Bible study, and I get a phone call from someone who has, they're freaking out. They're like, the kitchen is flooded. I was like, oh, my gosh. I hadn't put the shelf back in quite right, and it stayed open. All the ice in the freezer melted and went out on the floor. And so then I spent the next day, another probably hour, cleaning up that mess. I am not good at life hacks, but I do work hard because I have to, because I have no choice. And so part of what I do in life is work hard because I can't cut the corners well. And so I was actually, a couple weeks ago, traveled to Washington State. And I was like, I'm going to pick out my proverb as I travel across the country, because it takes a long time to get to Washington State from Memphis. I did not know that. I had to go back to my home state, Chicago, Illinois is the state, and then all the way to Washington. So I had a lot of reading time. And I told myself, you're not allowed to highlight any proverb that has to do with work. Because I wanted to learn something new. I wanted to grow a little bit. And I get about halfway through the book of Proverbs, and I realize, wow, a lot of these are about work. they're about spiritual work. They're about relational work. They're about vocational work. And so I realized I might have to consider thinking about some of these that are about work. And I was actually heading to speak to a group of young adults. I hadn't done that for a little while. And as I got there, I was like, oh, gosh, I don't even know what questions you ask this demographic anymore. I've gotten so far removed from the young adult world. But I realized quickly it's mostly about work, right? Because they're just entering the workforce, and they were talking about finishing school and working really hard. One person told me about how he had worked at this job that he hated that paid a lot of money for 3 years so his wife could go to school and get her dream job. I also heard someone say that they just quit their job because it was taking up way too much of their time. I was like, oh, wow, okay. And then another one who was like, you know, I had to quit my job too because they weren't giving me enough hours and I have to work on the weekends. I was like, but now you have no job? Anyway, so the conversation was mostly about work during that way, so I was like, okay, the Lord has spoken, right? And so I get back on the plane, And I pick out the verse that we're going to look at today, and it is in Proverbs 6. So if you have your Bibles or you want to pull it up on your phone, you can do that. It'll be on the screens as well. Proverbs 6:6 says this, "Go to the ant," that little tiny bug, "you sluggard," hopefully no one in here is a sluggard, "consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." So we're going to learn from a little tiny ant today. This is what I love about the scriptures. These scriptures were written over 2,000 years ago, and we still have ants. You'd think I wouldn't be excited about this, but so I moved here 2.5 years ago, and April rolled around, and all of a sudden, ants were in my house and in the church, and I was freaking out, because in Chicago, if there is an ant in your house, you have been very irresponsible, and they are coming for you. And so I quickly pick up the phone to a local, and I was like, there are ants everywhere. They're in the church, they're in my house, and I'm freaking out, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's April. I was like, oh, okay, ant season. I didn't know that this was, so they told me how to handle that, and now the ants and I are kind of have a rhythm, shall we say, and I actually enjoy when the ants come marching 2x2 into my house, because I'm like, oh, summer's coming. Yeah, I'm very excited, because I love summer, but we can learn from the ants, because they are very hardworking. They plan ahead, they are proactive, they are organized, they have a rhythm to their lives, they don't need a boss, and they put in the time. Yeah, very small but very wise, right? When I was looking at this and doing some research, I found out a lot of things about ants that I didn't know. So they all have different jobs. I didn't know that. I should know that, because the preschool always gets their little thing and it sits over in Arlington and they're all doing, but they all have these different jobs. And some jobs are take care of the young. Maybe we could see that as kids ministry here. Some forage for food. We have a hosting team here. Care for the nest. We have a group of people that take good care of the church. There's a group that defends the domain. We have a security team. Like, you think about all of these things and how the ants are actually a really good model for us, of course, because it's in Scripture, to show us how we should behave as the body of Christ together. We can function without a boss telling us over and over and again, this is what you need to do, here's what you need to do. We can go about what God has called us to do once we know what our job is, and we can go for it. In the Hebrew, it's very clear that it is one ant that he's talking about here. And it's good for us to realize that it's a singular ant, not many, many ants when he first starts talking about it, because what he's saying basically is each one of us little ants need to figure out what our job is. What are we supposed to do? What are we called to do? And then we go for it. We do it. Leslie was talking about this morning something called Growth Track. And the second week you take that class, you learn your spiritual gift. So if you don't know your spiritual gift, whether you've been here for years or you're brand new, you can go take that class, learn what your spiritual gift is on week two, and then week three, they help you get plugged in the way that you are gifted and wired to serve the church at large. When we all serve, we are then thriving as a church body. Okay, on your chair, there's a little card. I know there was one. I saw them on every single seat, because the ant crew that came through before made sure every seat had one. There's pens in the back if you don't have one. There are hundreds of slots at this church where you can serve. And if you don't have a slot yet, if you haven't volunteered yet, this is your opportunity. You can fill it out, and you can circle which one you want. And you can even put in there, like, I'm confused. What is this job? It sounds like something I would like. And then just drop it in one of the white boxes on your way out, and then someone's going to get a hold of you in the next couple of weeks. It might be after VBS, but you might get called today for VBS. I don't know. There's always an opportunity for everyone to serve. So look at that piece of paper and see, which one am I called to be a part of if you're not serving already? Another thing that I love about the ants is that they are proactive and they are prepared. So over the summer months, starting in April, apparently, they come up. I also did a little research. It's when it's warm. Duh, right? I'm thinking they're down there with the calendar because they come every April. But they come up when it's warm enough and they get to work collecting food for the whole winter. So they spend their whole summer getting enough food so that they are ready for the summer. And in scripture it says there's no commander, no overseer, no ruler, which means they do not have a boss, but they go about their work diligently and consistently over and over and over again all summer long, and they make it happen so that they are ready. And I was thinking about this. So here this is in scripture. He's not talking about the ants. He's talking about us and that we are called to be a part of living diligently in our little, seemingly small role and work at it diligently over and over and over again each day to the glory of God. In Genesis, it talks about how we are all called to be a part of his work and what he's doing. It is holy. It is good. And sometimes we think work is the enemy or our boss is the enemy. And I've been in ministry for almost 30 years now, and I've heard people like, you know, complain about how hard they have to work or whatever. But I've also heard people in the secular world talking to me about how they're like doing shortcuts so they don't have to work as hard and their boss doesn't know and how sneaky they are. And I'm like, you do know your boss knows. Like, the boss always finds out. The boss knows who's a hard worker and who is not. They are not confused at all. When we are lazy and complain about our jobs, we are not just shortchanging our boss and our coworkers, but we are shortchanging God. God gets glory when we as humans work hard and diligently at our job every single day, no matter what our job is, because people are watching. And I love that people are watching when we are people who love Jesus and they know it and they watch us work hard because they see something different in us, something that says we honor everybody around us, because when we work hard, we're working as a team. And that's what I love about this congregation. This is a congregation that works hard for the kingdom of God. Both campuses, I watch it over and over again, and it's attractive to people that come and worship with us. They see people doing the jobs. In Arlington, I've actually watched a brand new family. I took them to dinner, and they said to me, he's like, I want to do what JD does. I feel like I'd be good at that. I'm like, you've been here 3 weeks. It was attractive to them. They liked it. They wanted to be on the team and a part of things. People notice, and it matters, and it brings glory to God when we do that in his name. In the book of Proverbs, it is not about being reactive, but it's about being proactive. So the Proverbs are a proactive call. recently, our treadmill died, and so our life hack right now is to walk around the little park that's right near our house. And the first thing I noticed about this park is, I call it now the park of many signs. There are signs everywhere in this park, and they're up, and there's this one fence, and there's like five in a row on one fence, and I'm astounded every time I see this image as I walk in, and I'm thinking to myself, somebody broke some rules that people thought was common sense, right? It's like if you're walking around a baseball field, heads up. right? Most of us would read these rules and think to ourselves, that's common sense. I shouldn't do this. But when I was in youth ministry, we used to joke around like we would name rules after kids, just with the other youth pastors, because it was really funny, you know. And we'd be like, oh yeah, we have that rule too. That's Rob's rule, because he did that thing that we now have to have a rule for everybody. Or that's Rebecca's rule, because Rebecca did that and blah, blah. Well, if you go on a mission trip with Adventures and Missions someday, we, as the youth group that I ran, would like to tell you about Lee's Law. Everybody must wear safety goggles on every trip now if you go with this group, because Lee did not think it was very important, even though we told her many times, don't get the cement mix in your eyes. Yeah. She's not blind, thank goodness. There was a doctor on hand right away. I highly recommend always bringing a doctor with you when you go on mission trips. But now we call that Lee's Law, that you have to wear safety goggles with Adventures and Missions. So there's several signs at this park that like no golf practice at any time. I don't know what happened, but I can imagine, right? Like the mower came by and flung a golf ball and maybe went through a car window or hit someone, or simply when the person was golfing, it hit someone. There's all sorts of rules, and as I read through these, I could see the comedy of errors. No motorized vehicles on the path. Pick up your dog poo. Always good comedy with dog poo, right? Or heads up. Look out. There's a baseball coming your way. The book of Proverbs is not a book of rules. It is a book of wisdom. A way of living proactively, not reactively, like, okay, you did this wrong, so now we're going to try to do it right. It's a way to live with the instruction that God wants to give you before you need the sign. Back in my childhood growing up, we could pretty much name all of the rules in our house after my brother. My brother was 4 years older than me, and he would do things that no one would do. Like, we had rules in our house, like no lighting things on fire and no smashing things just to see what happens. Those kinds of rules. And over time, I was like, because I was 4 years younger, I started to learn, like, don't do the thing that he's saying is really fun. He'd be like, you know, it'd start out with like, hey, Diana, come see this really cool thing. And I learned over time, like, as soon as I hear that, I need to think before I act. And Proverbs 1:3 says this: Proverbs are for instruction in prudent behavior. As that child coming up behind him, I realized I got to do things differently. Probably about age 12, I was like, I'm out. I've been grounded too many times. I've had way too many consequences. I got to get out. And so I started to live the proverb life that was more proactive. I'm not saying I was reading the Proverbs and being like, I got to, but I just realized I need to be more prudent in my decisions. But what I love about the Proverbs are most Proverbs actually don't just give you the wisdom, but it also tells you what the consequences might be. Very helpful. Verse 9 in chapter 6, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? Wow, that's a strong word. When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. A sluggard is someone who refuses to do the work that they're supposed to do, and they only do what they want to do, which puts them in a world of hurt. A sluggard is someone who doesn't do what they should do. They just do whatever they want here and there, and it catches up with them. And that's what they're actually talking about in this piece of scripture. It is not the thief that jumps on you really quick and says, put your hands up. This is something that happens over time. And you yourself as the sluggard are stealing not just from other people, which you are, you're also stealing from yourself. And you end up down the road thinking, how did I get here? And how is my life such a disaster? And you become someone that you didn't want to be, because over time you kept letting yourself do the thing you wanted to do instead of the thing you were supposed to do. You got lazy. It makes me think of the people that have to beg on the side of the road. Something went terribly wrong. Or it could be that over time, they just stopped doing what they were supposed to do and just did whatever they wanted to do. Over the years, I've heard people say to me, man, I wish I had that opportunity. Or man, I wish someone would offer me that kind of job or whatever, XYZ, fill in the blank. And I've sat listening and thinking, that's interesting. And it made me think of this Thomas Edison quote about opportunity. Opportunity is often missed because it looks like hard work. Right? He's stating that we oftentimes miss an opportunity because we're not willing to work hard. That's when oftentimes the opportunity comes to us. It even says in Scripture, when you are given a little and you steward it well, you will gain more responsibility. But some people are like, I don't want that kind of responsibility. Then you also won't have the opportunities. Now, I will say that there are people that have done everything right, everything they're supposed to do, and something bad still happens to them, which is what makes Proverbs really hard to read sometimes. I think about this one, Proverb 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. That sounds so confident, like if you do this, this will work out. But I've been someone who's like, I feel like I did everything right. Like, I carefully carried my coffee and no. There are things that happen. One of the life hacks that we have actually adopted in our house is that little robot vacuum. We love this thing. We have dogs, and it does that hard work. But I took a long time before I was going to get one of those because I had watched way too many videos of those things running over dog poo and dragging it around the house. And so I was like, I got this. Every video, there's no human. It's always when they're not home. We will only run the vacuum when we are home, making very good decisions. And then we got a little dog named Fozzie. Now, Fozzie is cute. But Fozzie has the ability to do something called sneak-a-poo. And he sneaks in the other room, even when we're there, when the Roomba is on, and it drags the poo around the house. Yes, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. So you can do everything right. So we thought buying him maybe was not our right. Maybe we didn't do everything right. Recently, I've been reading the book Atomic Habits, and it made me actually think of the book of Proverbs. It's got great wisdom in it about, and he talks about doing 1 degree of change, 1% of change, and over the course of a whole year, you'll see 37% of progress. Okay, so 37% of progress. And then he says, and if you do 1 degree of change in the bad direction, you'll go 37% of bad progress in the other direction. And if any of you have exercised or not, or eaten well or not, you know this is true, right? There's things that measure that. Well, one of my phrases, before I had even read this book, anytime one of the Arlington campus staff members would get overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, we got so much change, we have so much to do, we have so far to go, I would say, just do 1 degree of change. And I said, if we just do 1 degree of change every single week, 1% of change, keep it really small, there will be change. And here we are, 2.5 years later. When I arrived and I was interviewing, there were 40 people sitting in that room, 43. For 7 weeks in a row this spring, we had 141. 37% degree of change in the positive direction. Think of Proverbs that way. They're not a magic trick. It's not like a gumball machine where you put in a quarter and you get exactly what you asked for. But if you are consistent, time over time over time, to live the way the Proverbs are calling you to live, there will be that ever so slight development in your faith, 37%. Can you imagine your faith growing 37% in 1 year? It can happen, right, Joey? Because that happens all the time in youth ministry, all the time. It's cool to watch. You can be one of those people. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you give us the gift of your word to be able to live the life you're calling us to. It's not easy, but you call us to be faithful. And God, I ask this morning that you would help this group of people live a faithful life, day after day, choosing that one degree towards you rather than away from you, so that at the end of the year, they can look back and say, I've grown. God, we love you and we trust you, and we ask that you would do a mighty work in us and through us in the days ahead. In your holy and precious name we pray.